morning. Is there anybody here who's glad to know the Lord for yourself? Come on and give him a praise this morning. Amen. This morning, I want to take the privilege to name these sections in the church. And I'm going to call this the Amen Corner over here. Can I get an amen from the folks over here? I'm going to call this the Hallelujah section right here. Can I get a hallelujah from somebody here? And I'm going to call this the Glory section. Can I get a glory? So what we got over here?
Amen.
What we got here?
Hallelujah.
What we got here?
Glory.
Come on, let's give God praise in the house this morning. It is indeed a pleasure and an extreme privilege for me to be here this morning. Your pastor is probably my favorite preacher. So I know that you are blessed here. When Brother Tim was not serving in a pulpit, I once, and he may not remember this, but I once told him that if he started something, I would join it. And if I were a person looking for a church, this would be my church right now. Because I know that God has his hands on this man, and I know that this man hears from God. Come on, I'm talking about your pastor. And I know that God uses him to bless his people. And so I am so thrilled to be here to see for myself how God is using him to do a work in this community. And so for a few moments, I'm going to share with you what God has placed on my heart. Will we pray together? Father, we thank you for this day and for this privilege that you give us to be in your house of prayer one more time. God, we thank you for this gathering and for this occasion of worship, but also this occasion of celebration, of homecoming and celebration of a dedication of a new wing of the church. God, we just give you praise for all you've done. And as a people who are determined to go back to the old landmark, so we know that we're in the place that you would have us to be as we go forward, God, we ask that you meet us in this hour in a special way. God, we thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And all the people said together, amen. I wanted to ask you this morning if these words ring familiar to you. There's a fountain of hope, living water for each of us. There are rivers of dreams flowing through heartache of this place. There are children that flower the trees. There are voices who need this place. There's sorrow and sadness here, but there's heaven and sunshine too. The spirit of peace moves free and clear, making way for laughter here. There are children that flower the trees. There are voices of people who believe in this place. They live and breathe in this place. There are children that flower the trees. There are voices of people who need this place. They want to be in this place. Yes, they live and breathe in this place. This place. On this homecoming Sunday, I want to talk to you for the moments that I have before you on the topic of this place. As we think about homecoming and all that it means, I think it's important that we hear the words from this song, which was actually recorded by the artist known as Kim. And since the connection that the words in the song have to the text you have chosen as your scriptural focus for today, particularly in light of some trends and issues facing the church today. We live in a time when the number of self-professing saints is on the decline, while the number of self-professing ain'ts is on the rise. A Pew Center study released about a year ago showed that the share of Americans who say they are certain about God's existence dropped from 71% in 2007 to 63% in 2014. The percentages who say they pray every day, attend religious services regularly, and consider religion to be very important in their lives also have ticked down considerably. Today, about 23%, or about a fourth of all American adults, are classified as ain'ts, or what the Pew survey classified as the nones. They are individuals who self-identify as atheists or agnostics, as well as many who describe their religion as nothing in particular. This is up from 16% just 7 years earlier. In contrast, about 75% or more of all adults continue to identify with some religious faith. And this religiously affiliated population comprising a wide variety of Protestants as well as Catholics, Jews, Mormons, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, and adherents of other faith traditions is on the whole, thankfully, just as religiously committed today as when the study was first done in 2007. I share this, brothers and sisters, because on this homecoming day, I believe God is trying to say something to us about the importance of coming home. Not just coming home to a church location, but coming home to the God of our salvation. God is wanting his people to come home. In the song titled This Place, a dedication to the church today, the R&B artist Kim offers the refrain, there are people who need this place. There are people who believe in this place. His words resonate with those found in 1 Samuel 7, where we find Samuel intervening on behalf of Israel at a time when there has been a falling away. God is now calling Israel back, and Samuel is leading the campaign. In the midst of all of this, Israel finds that it is under attack from an enemy camp, the Philistines. The Philistines have gotten word that Israel is in the midst of a revival and have decided that now is the time to attack them again to make sure that they're not able to come up and come out. But in the midst of hearing about the attack, Israel begins to cry out to Samuel to intervene on their behalf. Samuel begins to pray and offer sacrifices unto God on behalf of Israel. And in the midst of all of this, something amazing begins to happen. I want to read to you from the Message translation of the text, where it says, starting with verse 10, while Samuel was offering the sacrifice, the Philistines came within range to fight Israel. Just then God thundered a huge thunderclap exploding among the Philistines. The Philistines panicked. There was mass confusion, and they ran helter-skelter from Israel. Israel poured out of Mizpah and gave chase, killing Philistines right and left to a point just beyond Beth-kar. Samuel took a single rock and set it upright between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, which means rock of help, saying, This marks the place where God helped us. This marks the place where God helped us. I came to ask the question today, what wars have you faced? What battles have you won? How has the Lord helped you? What marks or memorials have you established to help you remember? Homecoming represents the opportunity to go back to those memorials. You see, the church represents a stone. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. The church is a place where we return, a place that reminds us of who we are and whose we are, a place of gathering, a place of the gathered, a people, gathered people who prayed for and with you, who taught you, who inspired you, who challenged and chastised you, who believed in you when you didn't believe in yourself, who lifted your aspirations. Samuel and the people of Israel celebrated their victory by placing a stone as a memorial and declaring, this marks the place where God helped us. I believe today God wants the people of Emery Grove to declare likewise, this place is where God helped us. I wonder, am I telling your story this morning? Is this the place where God has helped you? Can anybody in the house give God some praise for this place? This place is where God helped you to grow, to glow, and to go. This place is where God helped you push forward. He helped you push forward in the past. And this place is where God wants to help you push forward in the future. Much like in the movie, how Stella got her groove back. God is calling on all of his church to get their groove back at a time of spiritual decline in the world. In the movie, Stella had to get back in the game. She had to mix and mingle. She was down, but she wasn't out. God is saying the same thing to the church today. It's time for us to mix and mingle. We've got to rise up and step out. Pastor Warner informed me that on this homecoming day, the Emery Grove family will celebrate by focusing on the theme, back to the old landmark, to remember how far God has brought this church over a 142-year history, and to consider how faith, the same faith that brought you, is going to be the same faith that will carry you forward. And I like the way that he phrased it in his level, carry you forward together in new ways in the future. Thus, it is timely and significant for this congregation to consider this place where God has helped you to push forward before. And this place is where God will help you to push forward into the future. Now, what do you mean, push, preacher? I'm glad you asked. Because I came to tell you, Emery Grove, that God says it's time for a once stellar church to get its groove back. God wants to put the groove back in the grove, just like the story of Stella. This place is where God helped push you forward before and where God will push you forward again. PUSH this morning, I want you to consider, is a four-part acronym. God on this homecoming Sunday is calling his church back home to the basics of the faith, to the basics of church practice. This place is where God helped you pray. 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 And this is the place where God will help you pray again until something more happens. He's already started it. You already see the evidence of God's move in your midst with the dedication of a new wing today. 5 years after a new pastor to see the life that's in this congregation that was not here before. But I came to tell you that what God has in store for you, you haven't even seen yet. This is simply the beginning. But it's all going to go forward as you pray. Every great revival, every move of God has always been preceded by prayer. You study Azusa. If you study the charismatic renewal, you found that there were people who were willing to go beyond where they've been. When Israel faced destruction in the scripture, we see time and time again that they understood the importance of prayer. Queen Esther called the nation to pray, and God came through. When Jehoshaphat and Judah faced attack, Jehoshaphat prayed and called the rest of the nation to join him. And the Bible says everybody came, men, women, boys, and girls came, and they began to pray. And as they prayed, God began to move, and they prevailed over their enemies. The day of Pentecost was preceded by times of intense prayer. You had the gathered people who were in one place praying on one accord. And on the day of Pentecost, God released a mighty move of his power, where the weak became strong. The P, my brothers and push, my brothers and sisters, in the word push is for pray. Everybody say pray.
Pray.
This place is where God helped you unite. And he wants to do it again. He wants you to pray together. He wants you to wait and serve together. He wants you to do it in a spirit of unity. A house divided cannot stand. We must come to terms with the fact that Jesus prayed for church unity more than he prayed for anything else. In John 17, which is in fact what really should be called the Lord's Prayer, Jesus prayed, "I do not pray for these alone, but for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." The U in push is for unite. Everybody say unite. See, there's a story told about geese. I don't know if you know much about geese, but I learned a little bit about geese. And what I've discovered is that when geese fly, they fly as a team. They fly as a unit. They fly with one goal. That is to get from point A to point B. And they fly. Every time you see them fly, they are always flying in the shape of a V. And they do this by design. The V, you find that there's one lead goose. He's leading the flock. He's leading the way. And the rest of the geese align themselves behind this one lead goose. The lead goose is being buffeted by wind and by the torment of the force of the elements as he's going forward. He's hitting the headwind straight on. The lead goose is being buffeted. The lead goose is the one who's taking the punishment so that the other geese behind him or her can have an easier path through which to fly. They're all on the same team. They all have the same goal. They all fly with the same purpose, to get from point A to point B. When the lead goose has been up there for too much of a time, he has been beaten down too much and he gets tired, or he can't stay on the point and he's buffeted any longer, he gets to the others by giving them a signal. And whoosh, a teammate, an ally comes right into the space where he is. But they don't stop flying. They all are on the same team. They all have the same goal. They're all flying with the same purpose, to get from point A to point B. If a goose gets sick, if a goose gets tired, if a goose gets hurt, or if a goose gets wounded, they don't let the goose go down to the ground by himself. Two or more other goose or geese go along with him. They go along and they nurse the other wounded one back to health, or they'll stay with him until he dies. Geese seem to have more sense than people sometimes. Whenever you hear all the infernal noise coming from a flock of geese, when you hear them yonking and honking over your head, it's not just background noise. It's not just needless noise. The geese in the back of the V formation are honking their encouragement to the goose who's up at the front. They're saying, honk, go ahead, honk, you're doing a good job, honk, honk, we got your back, honk, honk, let us know what you need when you need some help. You need some rest, we got you. These geese, they understand the importance of working together. Don't you wish that church folk had as much sense as geese? I want you to tell somebody, what's good for the goose is good for God's folks. So line up and go with God's flow. Come on and give God some praise in the house. The U in push is for unite. This place is where the Lord helped you to study. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He said in John 8 that if we continue in the word, we would be his disciples indeed, and we would know the truth, and the truth would make us free. God said through Paul that we are to study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of God. Too often, we are more in tune with the world than we are with the word. More people stay home to watch the haves and have-nots than those who come to Bible study, only to discover that they have not because they ask not, in line with God's word. It's time to study, because what you don't know can hurt you. Too often our churches are working off tradition rather than the word. When we study, God will give us power. The S in push is for study. Everybody say study. And finally, I ask you to consider that this place is where God helped you to heal. Yes, God, through prayer, unity, study, has in the past given the church the power to develop healing ministries that allow the church to go into the community. He wants to do it again because he wants to position the church to make a difference in the community. My sister, who's running for office, is an example of what God wants to do. He wants to send his people to make a difference in the community. In the words to his song, Kim said, there are people who need this place. Yes, there are people who need the kind of healing that only this place can offer. The H in push is for healed. Everybody say heal. When I was at my last church, there was something interesting that God showed me one day that had not immediately occurred to me. We had bathrooms for men and women there. And when you would walk into the bathroom, it was a strange thing. The room was dark. When you opened the door, the room was dark. But as soon as you walked into the bathroom, the room became lighted. It was because there was a sensor that was sensitive to the fact that when a person came in, the darkness would turn to light. Well, I believe that God has placed a sensor in his people. And when we come into the community, when we come into places where there's darkness, God gives us the same capacity to change that which was dark into light, because he has placed in us a sensor. And that sensor, in case you didn't know, is called the Holy Ghost, who lives on the inside of us, who works from the inside out. God has given us the power to mount up with wings and soar like eagles, to rise above every situation, every challenge, every difficulty. But we've got to push together and not against each other. Pastor Warner's letter placed an emphasis on unity. He said the same faith that had brought you would be the same faith that would carry you forward together in new ways in the future. The Bible is filled with teaching about the importance of unity and working together. At one place, the Bible writers asked the question, can two walk together except they agree? In other words, he was saying birds of a feather flock together. And it's funny how God uses nature, natural things like birds, to teach us about his ways. There's a story told about a group of birds that some of us wouldn't think so much of, but they actually can teach us something very important. These birds are known to us as buzzards. Not particularly attractive, not particularly useful in our mind, but they do something that can teach you and me something about how it is that we are to respond as God's people. In fact, these birds are known as the dancing birds. It is said and understood that they understand the benefits of dancing. They actually have a habit of going to a space, to a place, an open field, and they begin to dance. And as they begin to dance, what they're doing is they're making a noise that sounds like rain. The noise is important because the noise begins to lure from the ground the worms that they need to eat. And so as they get together and they begin to dance, they dance sometimes in groups of 20, 30, or 40. They're making noise. They're dancing together. These dancing birds understand that there's power in unity. They understand that there's power in a dance. And see, they begin to dance together and dance together. And as they dance together, the thing that they need begins to materialize, because they're making the noise, and the worms begin to come up. And as the worm begins to come up, they begin to declare, guess who's coming to dinner? They begin to eat. Because they recognize that their need is being supplied by their unity. And all I came to say to God's people together today, why don't you look at your neighbor and say, do you care to dance? Can we dance together? Because God is wanting to say to his people that he wants to do something more. And he'll do it when God's people begin to get together and give God praise. Because see, when praises go up, blessings do come down. I wonder, do I have any witnesses in the house today who will attest to the fact that when you bless the Lord, he'll bless you back. He'll give you more than you ever had. He'll do it in a way that nobody else can. Come on, I wish I had some dancing birds in the house today who will give God some praise. Recognize that you praise him. Whatever you need, he will supply. Because my Bible says he will supply all of your needs according to his riches. Do I have a witness in the house who says he will supply? Yes, this place is where the Lord has helped you push forward by praising him. You see, we can praise God with a shout and dance, but we also praise God when we pray, when we unite, when we study, and when we heal. You see, when we do what he tells us to do, the way he tells us to do it, we can watch him make it do what he do. I know that's bad grammar. I know I have a doctorate, but that's the way God works. He'll make it do what it do. He will help a once stellar church get its groove back in the grove. Then you will declare, as saints have declared over the years, this place is where God helped us. As children reciting Easter speeches, learning the books of the Bible, and singing in the choir for the first time, this place is where God helped us. As youth serving as acolytes, attending Bible camps, and confirming our faith, this place is where God helped us. As young adults heading off to college and later standing at the altar to say, I do. This place is where God helped us. As parents struggling to raise kids to make ends meet, this place is the place where God helped us. As adults in the prime of our lives, yet fighting for a place at the table at our jobs and in our community, this place is where God helped us. As seniors who don't move as fast as we used to, but still got a praise on our lips and joy in our hearts, this place is where God has helped us. As individuals who have faced health crises, have lost loved ones, have failed at jobs, faced foreclosures, divorce, sometimes erred in judgment, and look back into the world thinking there is something there that worth going back to, only to find it was just an illusion, that the best really is yet to come, that our better days are not behind us, but before us. This place is where it gets better. He says, your latter shall be greater than the former. This place, this marks the place where God helped you. Not a perfect place, but a perfect place for you. A place where your needs can be met. A place where your gifts can be used. A place where your faith can be expanded. Yes, there are people who need this place. Yes, there are people who believe in this place. Come on and give God some praise in this place. He is calling us back home. He's calling us to be the church that prays. He's calling us to be the church that unites. He's calling us to be the church that studies. He's calling us to be the church that heals. If you're glad about it, give God some praise. Give God some praise in this place. Come on, somebody, give God some praise in this place. Come on, somebody who knows, if it had not been for the Lord who was on your side, where would you be? But thank God, you don't have to ask that question, because he was by your side. And he's kept you, he's brought you, he's blessed you, he's healed you, he's delivered you time and time and time again. And if he did it before, guess what? He'll do it again. Come on and give him some praise this morning. Come on, amen, corner. Can I get amen over in the corner there? Come on, hallelujah section. Come on, glory section. Tell your neighbor, this place is where the Lord has helped us. I don't know who might be here today who needs to come home. But the good thing about it is that you can always come home. And when it's really home, nobody needs to know where you've been, what you've been doing, why it took you so long. They're just glad to see you come home. And I sense that this is the kind of place that you could call home. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I saw all kinds of liberty up in here today. Brother shouting out, hold on, wait, hold up. Yeah. Sister shouting, Redskins. You know, people saying, all kinds of stuff. There's freedom in this place. And that says to me that God is in this place and that God is moving. And if you're in life, you ought to be in a place where God is moving, because when God moves, you don't want to be left behind. Amen. And so I'm going to say to you today that if you're here and you know you need to come home, today is a good day to come home. Today is a good day to come home. We don't want to take it for granted that everybody here knows who Jesus is. But Jesus stands at the door and knocks, and he invites you to come home.